Joining us now is Bill Polian. Bill, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Good morning to you and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Hey, Bill, I got to ask you right off the bat, how important, and you've been the, I think, six-time general manager or executive of the year in the NFL, so how important is it to not only, to more than appoint a new GM, to actually empower the guy? Right now we're hearing that, you know, he'll have the final and personnel decisions, but, you know, he'll have input from Vic, and Vic will have, you know, an opportunity to give his opinion. John Elway will. How important is just total and complete control of that position?
Well, let's sort of parse the question a little more deeply. Any general manager, no matter what his contract says, is always a partnership with the coach. I can think of, just going back to Indianapolis and Buffalo, and Carolina too. We never got to the point where somebody pounded the table and said, no, this is what we're going to do. You strive for consensus, and the coach is a very important voice in that discussion. Where you get into problems is if the head coach empowers assistant coaches to be part of that process. That gets a bit dicey. That's why I say we're going deep in the weeds here, but that's clearly an issue. But the head coach, never an issue. Mike McCormick was the president, and I was the general manager in Carolina. We worked well hand-to-hand. Mike had a voice. If he had a strong opinion, he voiced it. But ultimately, the decision was mine and Coach Capers to make. So Mike served as a conduit to ownership, as an important voice, along with myself in league affairs, and certainly as a strong resource and a leavening factor on, you know, in the week to week struggle it is always this season. So that's very workable. But ultimately, somebody has to have the final say if and when it comes to that. Those issues are few and far between. Whenever there was an issue on the 53, and I can only think of two in my whole career, actually, I always acceded to the head coach. In one case, it proved to be the wrong decision, and we rectified it in a week. It was never a problem. So that's really not an issue. I think if there is an issue, it'll be because assistant coaches who have a very different view of things than the top people do. They, you know, they exist week to week, season to season. You know, when they start to have loud voices, that's an issue. Having said that, the offensive line coach is an exception to that in most cases because those guys are so technically oriented and such, you know, good developers of talent by and large. And you have the best one in America, in Mike Munchak. I always acceded to the offensive line coach in virtually every decision. That's the only exception.
Bill Polian, our guest. Bill, we've seen kind of lately a new model emerge where it seems like the head coach is empowered and he goes out to find the general manager that he's comfortable working with. What, you seem to come from the older model, right, where the GM hires the coach. What model do you think works best?
Whatever works. there's many different ways to skin a cat. I mean, you could make the argument, I was a creature of Coach Levy and still am. Stink knows that. You know, I revere him. I live my life by virtually by everything he taught me. So even though I was the GM in Buffalo and recommended his hiring, he was my mentor. So that thing worked. We went to four Super Bowls. In the other instances, I was the person with the loudest voice on the selection of the head coach, and in both cases they reported to me first, and ultimately to the owner. But it works. It's just what works. What you're striving for is a symbiotic relationship.
So I would say, here in Denver, I've been pounding the table for the last 5 years. This roster isn't good enough. This roster isn't deep enough. And, they keep trying to chase the playoffs. And, hey, if we pick one or two guys here, a couple free agents, we're going to be right back in the thick of things. Right now you're sitting in a division that has Patrick Mahomes, that has Derek Carr, and that has Justin Herbert. So you've got the fourth best quarterback in the division. For you as a GM, if you're in this situation, what do you have to do to become competitive over the next several years to make this roster such that you can go into Kansas City and have a chance to win?
Well, as usual, my friend, you hit the nail right on the head. Roster construction and long-term strategy is the purview of the general manager. That's what he has to do. If I were an owner or a team president hiring a general manager, the first thing I'd say is, what's your plan to develop this roster? And if he could give me a good answer, then he's a candidate. If he can't, he's not. So having said that, having set the stage, what do you need to win? You need triplets on offense. You need a quarterback. You need a game-changing running back. You need a receiver that you can go to on 3rd and 13 and know that you got a better than 60% chance of completing the pass and moving the chains. On defense, you need game changers at every level. You need two rushers, preferably one inside and one outside that can control the game. You need a linebacker at the second level that makes up for a lot of mistakes, an eraser, and you need, depending on the system you play, either two cornerbacks who can lock people down or, two safeties who can basically control the run and the pass. Those are the building blocks, and that's irrefutable, by the way. There's no evidence that blueprint is anything but successful. So those are the roles you have to fill. I agree with you. I'm not sure Denver has any of them to be. Maybe Lindsay is a running back. Maybe. But I don't know that there are any. And of course, the linebacker, the great rush linebacker, is one there. And perhaps the safety on defense. So that leaves you short in some very critical positions, including quarterback.
All right. Bill, if you were taking over the Denver Broncos, would you be open to seeing what you got in Drew Locke, continuing that, or would you come in with the idea that you'd want your own quarterback?
I have not seen enough of Luck to have an opinion. So I would have to go back over the film to make a judgment on that. It's easy enough done, and it would only take a couple of days, I think. Based on what I saw, I'd make a decision. Their draft position this year is probably not advantageous, to drafting someone that's going to really make a difference. But if the guy that you have isn't good enough, then the turnover every rock theory has to come into play immediately. You turn over every rock looking for a quarterback who, if he may not be a guy who can lead you to the promised land, at least can make you competitive in every game.
Hey, Bill, I used to say that the first 15 picks are, the premium type of picks in the draft. And after 15, I look at 15 through the second round as kind of almost the same guy. Where are you with, I think the Broncos right now are scheduled to draft number 9 overall. Where are you on premium picks and difference makers in the draft as a whole?
This is a statistic that hasn't changed for 25 years. In any given draft, there's an average of 18 players with first-round grades. That doesn't mean they'll all succeed, but the only thing you can deal with is the grades. So 18 in any given year. 18, therefore, 19 on down are all second round grades. So by definition, you're the numbers bear out your, you know, with slight difference, bear out your theory. So at nine, you should be looking at a guy who has a first round grade and hopefully can fill the bill for you at a position of need. Now, if the need line doesn't cross the grade line, you shouldn't reach and take somebody at a need, take the best player. But the odds of getting a true first round grade at nine are good.
Bill Polian.
That's where Mahomes was taken.
Yeah.
Ironically enough.
Last question for you. Bill Polian, our guest, Hall of Fame executive. When you look at the Broncos' job, is it an attractive one? John Elway's still going to have a voice. He's going to have a say. He's going to be part of the hiring process. Whatever coach that, whatever GM comes in is going to be inheriting Vic Fangio and his coaching staff. Is this an attractive job, in your opinion?
Look, there are only 32 of them, so every one of them is attractive. That's number one. Number two, John Elway is a tremendous asset. You know, he's a guy with great credibility, great experience. He's someone with extensive knowledge of the franchise. He's a really important and very valuable asset. And Vic has proven to be a very solid head coach. He's, you know, to get this team to where it was, given the fact that it really does not have an established quarterback, that's a pretty good feat. But of course, Vic's area of expertise is defense, and given talent, there's very few that are better than him. So that's a, you know, good block to build on.
All right, Bill. Hey, man. Always a pleasure. Happy New Year, buddy. Miss you. And always great catching up.
You too. I enjoy listening to you, buddy. Take care.
Thank you, man. Bill Polian. All right. Some perspective from Bill Polian.